HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The ceasefire is over between Israel and Hamas. People in Gaza pulling a body out of the rubble after an airstrike hit southern Khan Yunis today. Each side blames the other for violating terms of the week-long pause in fighting. The BBC's Anna Foster.
Plumes of smoke on the horizon that have been largely absent for the last 7 days during this ceasefire. But you can also hear the regular sound once again of outgoing mortar and artillery fire. I've heard small arms fire as well coming across from Gaza.
One of the three Palestinian-American students shot in Vermont last week is speaking about the ordeal. 20-year-old Kenan Adal Hamid tells CBS's Errol Barnett he and his friends were speaking a mix of Arabic and English when they were fired on.
I felt this extreme spike of pain, and that's when I realized I might be shot. So I put my hand where the pain was, and then I looked at it and it was soaked in blood. I was like, holy.
One of the three is still in the ICU with a spinal injury. A homeowner accused of firing those shots has pleaded not guilty to attempted murder. Two governors, one running for president, the other a rumored possibility, faced off on TV last night. CBS's Christopher Cruz on the Ron DeSantis-Gavin Newsom debate.
On the Fox News Channel, Newsom defended President Biden's efforts on the southern border.
Joe Biden put a $14 billion immigration package up in front of Congress. 2,300 border agents, as well as customs officials. 1,000 new law enforcement officers to deal with the fentanyl issue.
But DeSantis said Mr. Biden is letting criminals and illegal drugs enter the country.
He opened the border. He's violating his oath of office to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. He's knowingly having 8 million come in. And yes, there's criminal aliens, there are terrorists, there's a lot of fentanyl.
King Charles in the spotlight on the second day of the COP28 climate conference in Dubai.
Unless we rapidly repair and restore nature's unique economy, based on harmony and balance, which is our ultimate sustainer, our own economy and survivability will be imperiled.
Federal judge in Montana has blocked the state's first-in-the-nation ban on TikTok. Critics say it's harmful to kids, but the judge ruled it overstepped state power. He also called it an attempt to target China, the app's owner. LeBron's kid's been cleared to play again.
Kicks it out to Bronny James for three. Bronny James gets the three-pointer to fall.
His family says doctors have given the all-clear for 19-year-old Bronny James to get back to practicing with USC's hoops team next week and return to games soon after. He went into cardiac arrest during a training session in July. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
I have
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of seven unions is filing a lawsuit to end the state's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. The lawsuit was filed in a Dane County court on Thursday. The unions argue that Act 10 led to lower pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. They say that because police and firefighters are able to collectively bargain, but teachers are not, Act 10 violates the state's constitution. Meanwhile, Wisconsin teacher pay isn't keeping up with inflation. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that median pay for teachers in the state is 12% less than in 2009, adjusted for inflation. Teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts got raises this year. It still doesn't appear to be enough to keep up with the cost of living. The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks lose in overtime in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A surprising loss for Milwaukee. The Bucks made a comeback in the fourth quarter, but Alex Caruso's three-point shot sent it into overtime, and the Bulls win 120 to 113. Adrian Griffin said head coach Billy Donovan had the Bulls ready.
Number one, give them credit. They played extremely hard. Billy got those guys playing with a lot of energy. Well, we didn't do it for the full 48 minutes of the game.
College hoops, big game tomorrow. The Badgers host Marquette at 11:30. The Golden Eagles are ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Everyone waiting to see if Taylor Swift will be in Green Bay to see her boyfriend, tight end Travis Kelce. Gymnast Simone Biles will be there to cheer on her husband, Jonathan Owens, who will be covering Kelce.
Try to get hands on him, but keep your leverage. That's the biggest thing. And just comes down to winning, man, and competing.
That's Packers safety Jonathan Owens. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of right around 35 this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, will drop to 22. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36 with a few scattered light snow showers late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 14.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. We've made it to Friday. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. We've made it to December. It's December 1st. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app by podcast or social media. We're glad you found your way up to Lake Wissota on this Friday morning. Let's tell you what's coming up on tap here. Commas matter. Consider the comma, the little piece of punctuation. The biggest difference is, you know, let's eat grandma versus let's eat grandma with a comma between eat and grandma. Why are we bringing this up? Because Mike Pence says there's a comma in his book that shouldn't be there. And it makes a big difference in what Donald Trump knew about the illegality of his plot to steal the 2020 election. We're going to talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil about that. Remember when Hillary Clinton referred to some of Donald Trump's supporters as deplorable and the media lost their minds? Well, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob in our second hour about a new study of recent media coverage of how former President Donald Trump recently used an old piece of Nazi terminology to describe people that didn't support him. And how the media hardly said a word. Plus, anyone who's interested in running in spring elections for school board, local government, other posts, well, today is the day you can start to work on the paperwork to get on the ballot. And we'll talk to Jimmy Koska about that, who has some school board experience. So we've got Jimmy Koska ahead, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher should be joining us, meteorologist Jennifer Wachitsky as well. And you get to be a part of it if you like at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Call it or text it on your own phone or on the app on your phone. Get the Civic Media app, and you can do so much more there, or put a comment on our Facebook page as well. And you'll want to get those phone calls ready, because if you were listening to the news just now, you already know the first couple of things we're actually going to talk about. One is about the depressingly major drop in teacher pay in Wisconsin over the past several years when adjusted for inflation. And coincidentally, a new legal challenge has been filed to try to overturn Act 10 in Wisconsin, where Scott Walker and company took away the bargaining rights of many, though not all, public sector workers. And many, not all, is the crux of that particular lawsuit that's been filed. Let's check the 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin. Civic Media Market by Civic Media Market. It's 18 here on Lake Wissota. Big difference in temperatures. Listen to this. Let me do the highs and lows instead of going, you know, left to right, top to bottom, as I normally do on the map. Hayward is at 8, and Greg's down in Waukesha where it's 36. So there tells me there must be a break in the clouds someplace here, because Park Falls is at 10, Wausau 21, Green Bay 22, La Crosse 23, Wisconsin Rapids 23. Then by the time you get to Oshkosh, it's 30. Then Madison's at 31. And again, in Waukesha, it's 36 degrees where I'm going to pull up Greg's camera. I should expect to see him slathering on some SPF. Yep, there he is right now. And get the nose. Remember that. And he'll be on a beach blanket before you know it.
Always get those ears, Pat. Always get the sunburn ears are the worst.
Oh, I know. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, like you said, it's Friday. I'm happy about December. It's my birthday month. I have a birthday coming up this month. I'm feeling fancy. I don't know why, but I just am. Man, it feels good to be a woman.
Here's my question of the day. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Which Friday is it for you and you collectively, not just you, Mr. Bach? What Friday? Is it the Friday of, I'm pumped up, we've made it, you know, all the energy's been building all week and it's going to be a good day? Or is it the kind of Friday where if metaphorically you were hit by a truck, it would be a good thing because then something could drag you across the finish line? And if I get there on the undercarriage of a moving vehicle, I'm probably okay with it right now.
Been a long week, Greg.
Been a long week.
I got to say I'm going with option one, and I think I'm always going with option one because of my work schedule. I work about 6 days a week, which is down from 7.
No, you don't. You do not. Honestly, you work at least 10, maybe 11 days a week between all the jobs that you do. You don't get any time off.
Okay, well, first of all, untrue, sir. But I'm always happy for Friday. I get to sleep in on Saturday. Most of the time I have Sundays off. So, you know, it's just nice. And let me tell you, like I've said before, I love working with you. I love this show. I love this company, Civic Media. Get the app. But that getting up at 4 a.m., when you get to sleep in on a Saturday or a Sunday, it's just with you the whole time. It's just next to you, and it feels good to look forward to it.
I love how glass half full you are on a day like today.
Gotta be. I don't know. This is a 2-hour podcast discussion. I try to remain half full at all times.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say I do try to do the same.
Yeah. You're a pretty positive guy.
I'm also going to be honest enough to tell you that about 2 hours ago, I probably would have, you know, if you'd have said, Pat, you don't have to get out of bed, just press this little button and call in sick, I would normally not do that. But today's one of those days where I'd be like, yeah, I'm not sick, but I just don't want to do it. You know,
I don't want to do radio.
But here we are. We've made it to the end of the week. We've got and I have to admit, I don't have a lot of monster plans apart from, you know, one quick day trip to meet with some good people. But otherwise, a little bit of holiday prep, maybe, you know, working on that Christmas card, Christmas letter thing. You know, and planning out what's going to be a great holiday trip with the whole extended family. So, you know, I'm feeling better about the day already. But let's address a question here that came in on Facebook from Jeff. What streaming services is Civic Media on? I know only of TuneIn. Well, that's a good question because I know it's TuneIn. Hmm. I know TuneIn is one. I think that there may be another, but I haven't looked at the note for so long. So that's on me. But TuneIn is definitely the one. But the reason we haven't talked about TuneIn much is because we want folks to get the app, you know, and to get the, when you've got the app, you can still use the app, again, if I'm not mistaken, through services like, I don't want to say Alexa too loud because, you know, it'll turn on somebody's machine. But, you know,
what do you want, Pat? What do you want, Pat? Would you like more socks, Pat? Would you like a four-wheel truck, Pat? What do you want, Pat? I'm Alexa. I'll give you what you want.
And this is why I don't have that, because it scares me that that's exactly what would happen here one of these days. So, yeah, the app is obviously what we're hoping folks will listen to on their phones and through their streaming services. But we'll get you a more thorough answer to that because you deserve that. You deserve a good answer to that question.
I'll work on that.
during the show. You work on that while I tell people about the daily newsletter that Up North News puts out. We'll talk to Christina Lurie next, Tuesday, as we do every Tuesday at 6:30, about some of the biggest and best and most uplifting stories that she works on. But today, she notes the end of Native American Heritage Month, but does so on a somber note because there is still such a problem with missing or murdered Indigenous women in Wisconsin and around the country. And Selena Heller has been working on that story as well. And so it's a very integral part of today's newsletter that you can check out as well. There's also a note there about travel days, the good ones and the bad ones over the holiday season, and so much more. So head over and sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. I mentioned that we're going to get into Act 10 and teacher pay, and we're going to do that in just a couple of minutes here. But there is so much sports that's happening this weekend. I thought we should take care of that and kind of take care of business on that right now so that then we have the rest of the time to work on unpacking the news for you. The Milwaukee Bucks lost in Chicago last night in overtime to the Bulls, 120-113, breaking the Chicago Bulls' five-game losing skid. I think the Bucks maybe have their sets set on that in-season tournament when they play the Knicks. They'll be hosting the Knicks next Tuesday, but they still have another regular season game between now and then. They will be playing tomorrow at the Fiserv Forum against the Atlanta Hawks, and you can catch that game on stations like WRCE, News from the Center in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Badger men's basketball team hosts the Marquette men's basketball team. Last I saw, ranked number 4 in the nation. But you know what? I may not have that updated. Marquette just having a phenomenal season so far. So it'll be Badgers and Marquette at 11:30. And I believe I've got the list of stations that are carrying the game for that as well. There it is. Yep, Marquette at Wisconsin, 11:30. That'll be on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory. All will be carrying that game for you. So tune in for the Bucks versus Marquette. The Badger women's basketball team will host Butler on Sunday afternoon at the Kohl Center. The Marquette women's basketball team will host Penn on Sunday. The Badger men's and women's hockey teams are back in action after the Thanksgiving break. The Badger men host Ohio State at the Kohl Center, 7 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock on Saturday. And the Badger women's hockey team will be next door at Laban Arena, and they'll be hosting UMD Saturday and Sunday afternoons. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament is in full swing, and the Badgers got started at home last night, defeating Jackson State in straight sets. So they head on to the round of 32, and that means they'll be at home again tonight at the Fieldhouse, 7 o'clock, taking on Miami of Florida. Marquette is in the tournament as well. The women there defeated Eastern Illinois in the Purdue sectional. Marquette is a 6 seed, and they will be taking on the 3 seed host Purdue. That's coming up tonight at 6. Badger football team, we will find out on Sunday, what bowl game they will be going to. It could be the Music City Bowl in Nashville. There could be a game in Tampa that they might end up with. We'll all know later Sunday, and we'll talk about it first thing Monday. And then in the National Football League, as we know, the big game Sunday night is Simone Biles versus Taylor Swift. Jonathan Owens versus Travis Kelce. Packers and Chiefs. That's coming up Sunday night. Sunday night football. NBC will have that game as well. Let's take a pause here, and when we come back, we'll unpack some of the news on this Friday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this and first day of December. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you say, Greg? A little time for a little Lou Rawls sing-along?
Absolutely.
Can you get down that low?
Lady love. Your love is peaceful like
I thought Greg was going to go down the ladder there with me, but that's
I will do that, Pack Rattlo. My lady. My lady.
We'll talk about Lou Rawls in today's history lesson in just a bit. As noted by somebody at Civic Media, because the Civic Media comment came up on Facebook, it says here, we are always streaming on the app, and of course gives the address of civicmedia.us/mobile. I'm going to assume that's Luke, so thanks, Luke, for putting that up. And then Tony adds on there, I use the app every day, so thank you, Tony.
Wow, just it's...
We're so interactive here sometimes.
But I did ask if there's anywhere besides the app and TuneIn, because it's a very valid question. But you know, get the app. It's fun. It's cool. It's easy. Yes.
That's the short answer, kids. 6:21 right now. Up North News was first to report the three candidates who will be running for Senate Democratic leader. Now that current Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard announced yesterday she is stepping down from her leadership post to run for Dane County Executive next year. The backstory on that is that current Dane County Executive Joe Parisi announced that he will be retiring in May. That will mean that there will be an election next November for Dane County Executive. There will be a primary in August. If three or more candidates get in, Senator Melissa Agard is the second candidate to announce, along with an alder from Madison. And so that meant that of the 11 Democrats in the state Senate, they'll need to pick from among themselves a new leader. And three candidates had immediately stepped forward to say that they were going to run for that post. They include Senator Kel DeRoyes of Madison, Senator Diane Hesselbein of Middleton, and Senator Jeff Smith of the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick. And that election could be held as soon as Monday of next week, whenever the caucus decides to get together and choose who will lead them. This is not just some ceremonial post. This will be whoever's chosen as the next Senate Democratic leader will have primarily, because most of the legislative work is done for the year, will primarily be essentially the Senate Dems campaign manager, if you will. They will be leading the public face of trying to win back more state Senate seats, especially, and this is the key part, especially if the state Supreme Court does rule that the current gerrymandered maps are unconstitutional, and if new maps are written and approved in time for the 2024 elections. That means that even though senators have four-year terms, and so only half the senators are normally up every other year, in this case, if they redraw all the districts, then all the senators will have to decide, are they going to run for re-election in a new district, or are they not going to run? Because in some cases, you might have two incumbents placed into the same district. Other districts might not have an incumbent living within their borders at all. And so whoever becomes the next Senate Democratic leader, and the same goes for the other leadership roles in the Senate and Assembly for Democrats and Republicans, could be very big if there are all new boundaries for deciding who controls the Wisconsin legislature in 2024. Former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced yesterday formally that he's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, that's not next year. It's the year after. in 2025. So I guess you can't get into races too early these days, can you? That's when progressive Ann Walsh Bradley's term will be up in April of 2025, and she is expected to run for re-election. And Brad Schimmel, who was unseated in 2018 by Josh Call, has already thrown his hat into the ring to run for that post. The Wisconsin Policy Forum has been studying teacher pay and finds that teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts received raises this year that were higher than they've seen in a decade. But despite that hike, according to this Wisconsin Public Radio report, the median pay for teachers has fallen more than 12% since 2009 when adjusted for inflation. That's according to a new report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Peggy Wirtz-Olson is president of WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, and says, yeah, there have been raises, but teachers aren't feeling the raises because of inflation, which has affected us all. But just because it's affected us all doesn't mean that there isn't a valid argument that by not having teacher pay keep up with inflation, we're losing some of our best. Either people who are going into teaching outside of the state or who aren't going into teaching at all because they have seen the hostility toward education and public education in particular dating back to the Republican takeover of the legislature in 2011 when Scott Walker and the Republicans passed through Act 10. Something that I would hasten to add again, Scott Walker did not campaign on. Did not mention that in 2010. Made some general remarks about, you know, as they always do about, you know, union bosses, translation, people who actually care about their kids or care about getting the work done right and not being hosed by their employers. And then he, as what was the legendary line? He dropped the bomb, you know, on that first week of February 2011. And nothing's been the same in Wisconsin. And in the case of Wisconsin teachers, it means this incredible loss in paycheck power dating back to when Act 10 first came into being. To no one's surprise, even though Act 10 has been legally challenged in the past, it's being challenged once again on a different set of criteria by seven unions who represent teachers and other public workers in Wisconsin. And they filed a lawsuit on Thursday, hoping to end the state's near total ban on collective bargaining for most public employees. The latest lawsuit is the first since the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to progressive control in August. However, the people bringing this lawsuit are not asking the Supreme Court to take it up right away, same as, say, the gerrymandering case, where folks are looking to have new maps done before the next elections. By filing it in county circuit court through the traditional path, it means it's probably going to take more than a year for this case to make its way through. But again, it's because they want the courts to carefully look at some of the legal basis for bringing the lawsuit. The lawsuit alleges that because Act 10 provides an exemption for some police and firefighters and other public safety workers from the bargaining restrictions, that violates the Wisconsin Constitution's equal protection guarantee. The complaint notes that those exempted from the restrictions conveniently endorsed Scott Walker in the 2010 gubernatorial election, while those subject to the restrictions were part of unions that did not endorse Scott Walker in 2010. A little quick break here while I sip some coffee. A similar argument was made in a federal lawsuit alleging that Act 10 violated the Equal Protection Guarantee in the U.S. Constitution, but a federal appeals court in 2013 said that the state was free to draw a line between public safety and other unions. So here's the interesting parallel to the gerrymandering case. In both of these instances, the legal challenges were brought based on protections in the U.S. Constitution and worked their way through federal court. And you had the Supreme Court at the federal level say, nope, the U.S. Constitution says you don't win this case. But now both cases are being tried with language in the state constitution, going to the state Supreme Court eventually, which could lead to a different outcome. Guy Vakil coming up next. You're up north. Let me tell you that
it's not easy. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News brief. Rescuers in southern Gaza pulling a body from the rubble after the one-week-old ceasefire between Israel and Hamas ended. Each side is blaming the other for violations of the truce. The BBC's Anna Foster is in southern Israel.
As 7 o'clock ticked by, there were sirens, red alert sirens here in Sderot as a rocket was fired from Gaza. Then Israel resumed its military operations.
One of the three Palestinian-American students shot in Vermont last week describes what happened to CBS News.
I was speaking kind of like Arabish, so a mix of Arabic and English. He, without hesitation, just went down the stairs, pulled out a firearm, a pistol, and started shooting.
Governors Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom went after each other on the issue of crime during a debate on Fox.
I was speaking kind of like Arabic.
And here they are.
I was speaking kind of like Arabish, so a mix of Arabic and English.
They blamed each other for their situations in their states. CBS News Brief, I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Kelda Royes is also interested. A vote is expected by the end of the day on Friday. President Biden does better with likely voters in recent polls, while Donald Trump does better with less than likely voters, assuming that's the presidential matchup next year. Pollster Charles Franklin.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of right around 35 this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, will drop to 22. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36 with a few scattered light snow showers late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. 93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Now, let's touch base with Kia Bakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, joining us from California, as he does many Fridays. Kia, how are you?
I'm pretty well, Pat. How about yourself?
I'm very good, thanks. And I think in part because as somebody who is a bit of a word nerd, I love that we're going to play with language a little bit here. And I'm sure you've seen the T-shirt or the sign about commas and the importance of commas, you know, the difference between let's eat grandma and let's eat comma grandma and you think, okay, how does that ever apply in real life? And apparently Mike Pence in his book, a single comma is the difference between, was he just expressing something to Donald Trump, or does it make Donald Trump really know how illegal it was for him to try to overturn the election? I was amused by it. I don't know if you were.
Yeah, I was. So Pence, you know, wrote a book, and in the book, he's quoted as saying in a phone call with Trump on Christmas Day 2020, you know, comma, I don't think I have the authority to change the outcome of the election on January 6th. But when interviewed by the special counsel, apparently Pence said that comma was not supposed to be there. So the quote should have read, you know, I don't think I have the authority to change the outcome. So, which totally changes the meaning of that sentence, because it suggests he straight up told Trump that he doesn't think he can change it, rather than just, you know, using the phrase, you know, as like a transition. And this is, you know, very nerdy grammar for your audience, but it's meaningful because it's just more evidence that Trump knew what he was doing was illegal, inappropriate, and that his own VP didn't support it.
No, he did not. And again, I think that that is something that Jack Smith and all these other cases are going to uncover. There will certainly be, there's a lot to track on it, but of all the things, I thought the fact that Mike Pence is looking back at his own book and saying, yeah, that comma shouldn't have been there when I said, you know, I don't have the authority to do this. Or it was just, I thought, very, very telling. Onto policy and politics that's a bit more, substantive to the everyday lives of people. Medicaid expansion. We've talked about that in Wisconsin for years now, as Republicans continue to block it, making Wisconsin one of only 10 states that have yet to accept federal Medicaid expansion funds and make BadgerCare stronger. The state has missed out on billions of dollars that could have provided stable care for more Wisconsinites. And the reason we bring this all up with Kia is the reason Wisconsin is now one of only 10 states instead of one of only 11 is that, again, a state with a strong Republican presence has agreed to start Medicaid expansion. And that's starting today, December 1st, right?
Yes. So the North Carolina legislator, after a decade of refusing to expand Medicaid, finally did earlier this year. And that's a Republican supermajority that is not afraid to gerrymander and wield power. They are comparable to the Wisconsin Republicans in terms of just bad faith, anti-democratic, anti-progress legislation. Even they expanded Medicaid this year because the federal funding is just so substantial, and because, like Wisconsin, North Carolina has a lot of rural pockets that are really, really being, you know, decimated as hospitals close, and Medicaid expansion has been shown to be a lifeline. So they expanded it earlier this year. It officially went into effect today. And so what does that mean? That means today, overnight, 300,000 people in the state of North Carolina have access to health insurance that they did not have yesterday. It means another 300,000 can apply for Medicaid under the expansion. And, you know, within the next couple months, get that coverage backdated to when they applied. So that is life-changing. If you are someone who, you know, has chronic healthcare issues, but you know, can't really work a full-time job, but you don't qualify for disability, but you make enough money where you can't get on Medicaid, now you might be able to. That's life-changing. And so what we're seeing is, you know, that's going to be a huge boon to both people in rural North Carolina, in urban centers, in suburban areas even. It's going to help hospitals. It's going to help, you know, mental health and substance abuse. And it's the biggest investment in healthcare there in decades.
And I apologize for being redundant, but I'm going to make the point again that the Republicans in North Carolina are every bit as savvy, shall we say, as Republicans in Wisconsin. They will rig the maps. They will stack the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court. They will make all kinds of decisions that many people would disagree with, but they understand how the Medicaid expansion program works and want their residents to have stable healthcare coverage, which is what North Carolina is doing now that Wisconsin still hasn't. Can't make that point enough. One of the big stories this year has been the auto worker strike, when members of the United Auto Workers Union struck across all three of the big three automakers, and they won. And it shouldn't be a big surprise now, Kia, that the UAW is looking at all of the non-union shops across the country and saying to their workers, hey, we could maybe help you out.
Yeah, I mean, the UAW won huge raises, benefit increases, just fantastic contracts with GM, Ford, and Stellantis. But those are three of the few, you know, those are only three of a handful of car brands in the U.S. And most of those brands, Toyota, Hyundai, Tesla, being sort of the prize, are non-union, especially in the South, where there's right-to-work states and unions barely have a presence. The UAW plans to go on offense. And that is a huge, huge sign of the power of organized labor right now. And they released a really compelling video this week. And they are, you know, an aggressive union, as we saw this year. And there are hundreds of thousands of workers at all of these companies who do not have union contracts, do not have union benefits, union pay, union protections. And we've seen a lot of these companies proactively raise pay by like 9-10% because they're terrified. Because if their workforce is unionized, especially if Tesla's workforce unionizes, that's going to be huge. And that means that, you know, billionaire oligarchs like Elon Musk have to actually treat their workers like human beings and not disposable assembly line robots.
Yeah. Allow me to editorialize for a moment, because we spoke on this program yesterday and the day before about President Trump's comments threatening to, again, terminate the Affordable Care Act. And there have been people who have said, you know, well, you know, my insurance was just fine, you know, before the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, maybe it was because you didn't actually put in a serious claim, and so many other people did. They got denied, their premiums got jacked up. So you had this, you got to ride the gravy train for a little while. Well, so it goes with these non-union shops. I don't doubt that in many of those shops, there are workers who've said, we don't need a union, the company treats us fine. Until they don't. Yep. And I think that you're going to find more workers in these non-union shops that are in that frame of mind saying, yeah, I thought I was getting a good deal until they decided I was expendable, that it was, you know, easy to dump on me. It was easy to abuse my schedule and so forth. So, you know, why wouldn't these folks be open to hearing more about the right to bargain collectively?
Yeah. I mean, especially if you work at a non-union shop, you look at your paycheck, you look at the contract that GM and Ford and Stellantis workers just won, you'd be insane not to consider unionizing.
Let's turn to the state of Arkansas now, which is actually, again, much like we talked about North Carolina, I maybe should have run those two topics back to back, where you have, you know, Republicans there that are in power. They are rather aggressive, and you'll see why. When you remember the recent vote in Ohio to, again, protect abortion rights in the state constitution, as was done in Kansas, as was done in other red states. So it's no surprise, as Dr. Lyerly has told us recently, that in some other red states, people are thinking about starting ballot measures there to enshrine abortion rights. But in Arkansas, the attorney general is playing a little hardball on this topic.
Yeah, so the Arkansas attorney general, who is a Republican, has rejected the language of a proposed ballot measure that would repeal the state's abortion ban. And basically, he is, you know, nitpicking the language of it. And, you know, to be clear, he is an extremely anti-abortion attorney general. And so this is very clear, you know, if you read between the lines, it's an anti-abortion politician trying to prevent Arkansas voters from repealing the state's abortion ban, because all the available evidence suggests they would do that, because they've done that in every other state where there's been the opportunity, in states as red as Kansas and Ohio. So there's a pretty strong chance that in Arkansas, they would do the same thing. So rather than let voters even have a chance, this, you know, Tim Griffin is the man's name. He is trying to basically block it. And so what that means now is that the group that was proposing this amendment now has to redraft it and try again. And basically, it's going to make it harder for them to get the signatures they need before the deadline to get it onto next year's ballot. And so this is, you know, another form of trying to prevent voters from actually, you know, voting on things. It's not democratic. You know, Arkansas allows ballot measures, but, you know, this guy can just single-handedly say, no, I don't want voters to vote on it.
And I don't doubt that you'll see efforts like that in other red states, but I don't see people backing off of their desire to let the people vote on this. So we'll follow that one as well. The Republican Party, the elected officials are more right-wing than ever. And when somebody even as far to the right as Liz Cheney is discovering that, you know, we live in a different world, and we're learning more about that from her newly published book.
Yeah, I have not read the book, but it, you know, based on some reporting, we know that, you know, she obviously, we've already known she lost her job in Congress. She lost a lot of relationships with Republicans. And basically, you know, what the reporting says is that a lot of the really pro-Trump Republicans basically just wanted nothing to do with her because she dared to speak out and actually have a backbone about, you know, Trump's efforts to overturn an election. While most Republicans fell in line and basically, you know, bent the knee to this demagogue, she actually stood up for something. I do not love Liz Cheney's political beliefs outside of that, but she deserves credit for that. And you know, the book reveals that apparently she lost a lot of longtime friends over this, because that's how, you know, Trump brainwashed a lot of Republican voters are, a lot of MAGA voters are. A lot of them are at a point where they will abandon friendships with someone who doesn't go along with Trump's efforts to overturn an election. And that's really, really sad.
It really is. And I expect we're going to hear a lot more out of that book, Oath and Honor, that is newly out, along with all the other things that Kia Vakil covers for us for Courier Newsroom. Kia, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Anytime.
As long as we're talking about the news in some of the other states, having covered you know, North Carolina with Kia and Arkansas, let's go to Ohio for just a second here, where they too have a problem with gerrymandered maps. And five different times last year, the Ohio Supreme Court struck down five different versions of legislative maps, each time ruling that the maps were unconstitutionally partisan. Another set of maps was written up, and this time the Ohio Redistricting Commission, which does include Democratic members, approved those maps. But again, outside experts said that they, too, were extremely gerrymandered. But the Ohio Supreme Court very recently, earlier this week, on a 4-3 vote, struck down any lawsuit challenging the maps that are new, but still rigged heavily in favor of Republicans, saying that the Ohio Redistricting Commission approved them, so it must be okay. It raises the larger issue. If something is unconstitutional when it comes before a court, even if it's been approved by some other body before it came to the court, isn't it still unconstitutional? But again, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled 4-3 to keep the gerrymandered maps in place. Oh, I forgot to mention, one of those four on the court is the son of Ohio's Republican governor. We'll have today's history lesson and more coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Slow dance time, everybody.
No, 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 him is to love, love, love. Him.
Greg, just lean into your camera frame over on this side so it can just kind of look like we're slow dancing. Oh, there you go. There. Okay. I thought maybe that would upset some of our viewers, but I think it just made them confused because we were not in sync at all. I think people fell down because we looked so imbalanced from that. That's the Teddy Bears and their medley of hit from 1958. Their number one hit single this day in 1958, To Know Him Is to Love Him. It's adorable.
It's fine.
So why wouldn't it be called the Teddy Bears? You just want to hug that song.
Aww.
Or go bleh, depending on your point of view. Romantic you're feeling that day.
This music has just never been my... Anything like from the 50s that's like poppy, I'm like, ugh.
Well, now we know what triggers Greg, so keep that in mind for future music segments, kids.
You're on this mean.
On this day in 1878,
fair.
On this day in 1878, President Rutherford B. Hayes gets the first telephone installed in the White House. On this day in 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, seamstress Rosa Parks refused to give up her bus seat to a white man. She was arrested for violating the city's racial segregation laws, an incident which led to the city's bus boycott and an expansion of the fight for civil rights. Birthdays on this day, we already mentioned that Lou Rawls had been born on this day 90 years ago. He passed away in 2006. And then there's Billy Paul, who would have been... 89. I'm sorry. Billy Paul was born 89 years ago today. He passed away in 2016, but not before giving us this R&B classic.
Now she'll go her way, and I'll go mine.
This is another one where you got to try to hit the high note.
The same place, the same time.
Here we go.
Mrs. Jones.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
did you do it? Did you do it over there?
In here.
No, not you. Yeah, I did it in my heart.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking the people who are driving and going, yep, I can do that. Mrs. Jones. The late Richard Pryor was born this day in 1940. Passed away in 2005. Sarah Silverman is 53 years old today. Janelle Monáe is 38 today. We'll hear from her a little later on in the program. And get your cowbell ready because it is Eric Bloom's 77th birthday, lead singer of Blue Oyster Cult. You're just never,
never not going to see Will Ferrell in that too tight of a t-shirt.
No. I got a fever, and it's only prescription. Is more cowbell. I put my pants on one leg at a time, but when I do it, I make gold records.
Happy 78th birthday to Bette Midler. We'll hear from her a little bit later as well. Love that. Gilbert O'Sullivan is 77 today. We will not hear from him later because that song of his, Alone Again Naturally, has been played more times than it already deserves. So we'll maybe some.
Well.
Oh, come on. You know the song.
Yeah, you played this song?
Yes. As opposed to Alone Again Naturally? Come on. It's cowbell. You got to play the cowbell song. Let's see. I also got, from Tony here saying online, fun fact, President Rutherford B. Hayes is from my hometown of Fremont, Ohio. Charles Woodson, Packers legend, is also from Fremont, Ohio. So there you go. There's your fun factoid for today. Here's a birthday that made me feel especially old. Actually, you know what? Let's talk over the Carpenters while I give it, because there's some dissonance right there. The Carpenters had the number one hit on this day with Top of the World in 1973. Now, while they sing in the background here, I'll tell you that it was on this day in 1988 that a baby daughter was born to newlyweds actress Lisa Bonet and then still fairly unknown musician Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Zoe Kravitz is 35 today.
I quit. Goodbye. Just put me on an ice sheet and push me off into the lake.
Here's the thing. I mean, I would still think of Lenny Kravitz as like 35, even though their daughter's 35. My daughter just turned 35. But I still feel, how can that be? Because I'm 35. I still feel 35 on the inside.
We're all 35, Pat. That's the problem. We all stop at 35.
Well, it's where we kind of mentally top out at that point, I guess. But yeah, I just saw that. And I'm like, Zoe, 35 years ago that Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz were, you know, that was kind of like the celebrity wedding of the year, you know?
And they're both still hot. It makes me so angry.
I mentioned that to Sherry last night, and she said, they have people. That's their job. Their job is to look hot, and they have people that help them continue to do so. And I thought, yep, you're absolutely right. I need people. I need people like that where it's like, here's your job. I know they're called personal trainers. I should really consider getting one someday, but I don't have Lenny Kravitz money. So on the calendar today, this is National Eat a Red Apple Day. I don't know why red, not green, but speaking of red and green, this is National Christmas Lights Day. And some other holiday ones. It's National Cookie Cutter Day. It's National Peppermint Bark Day. It is World AIDS Day, Women Support Women Day. And since it's the first of the month here, this is also National Volunteers Month. And I can't say enough about that. The satisfaction that you get from volunteering when you find the right group to do it with. I did for many, many years for a group called Literacy Volunteers of the Chippewa Valley, and then with a local Rotary Club for a while. I don't know, Greg, if you've done much for volunteer work that you want to shout out to?
In earlier days, I did, but what I want to do in the new year, I want to get to start volunteering with my local chapter of Habitat for Humanity.
Ah, very nice. Yes. So, yeah, this is volunteer month. So look into those opportunities where you can help make a difference in your community. Coming up in our next hour, we've got three different guests. Jimmy Koska is going to be along to talk about running for office. The spring elections are coming up. They'll be in April. If there's any primary needed, it'll be in February. So the time is now to get on the ballot for your school board or other local governments. Jimmy has experience in that and is going to talk to us about that. And then, of course, as often on Fridays, Mark Jacob will be along, and we will talk about media coverage of the week's big stories, and then we'll talk sports with Dan Schumacher when he comes in as well. So if you're getting set to head out the door for the top of the hour, think about listening to us in the car. Even if there's not a Civic Media radio station near you, you can listen through the app, maybe through Bluetooth to your car radio if you're real fancy like that. Just download the app wherever you get your phone apps or head over to civicmedia.us to learn much more. This is Up North News Radio for a Friday. Nice to have you along up here on the lake. We'll be back.
Top of the world looking down on creation and the only explanation I can find.
tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.